particularly, actually they're all particularly significant, but there's one I'd like to just discuss. The second verse on page one. Very nice verse. Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnu Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Stapitam. So this verse, let's read the translation together. You see underneath that there are two translations. It's the second of the two translations. So if everyone, we can all read it together. Yeah. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? So this is a very nice verse, actually, because if we want to take shelter of Krishna, as we're going to discuss in tonight's verse, which is what Arjuna is asking Krishna, that please, I want to take shelter of your instructions. So here we need to look at this verse and think what it means. Because that was then, 5,000 years ago, and this is now. But still the same instructions are valid. And the means by which we can access the instructions of Krishna, the means by which we can access the instructions of Lord Chaitanya, who is giving us for this age the means by which we can approach Krishna, is through... is through the teachings and the followers of the six Goswamis, who were Lord Chaitanya's disciples. So Srila Rupa Goswami is the leader of the six Goswamis. And if we look at this verse, when will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who is established within this material world, the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? So first of all, what is the desire of Lord Chaitanya and what is that mission? So what is the desire of Lord Chaitanya?
To spread the holy name of Krishna in every town and village.
Yes, and to distribute?
Love of God.
Yeah, Krishna Prema, actually. Topmost goal.
Also, is it right to say that in form of Krishna himself, this desire is to feel the love that Srimati Radharani has for Krishna?
Oh yes, he has his internal reasons.
Is that one of his two factors?
That is his mission also, yes, definitely this is the mission. And this is explained in eight verses called...
Sikshastakam,
yeah. Siksha means instruction. And astakam, these are eight. Asta is eight, so eight verses of instruction. And these, actually Prabhupada explains, describe the mission of Lord Chaitanya, what he wants to do. And he describes in the first verse, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Who knows these, who's read or become a little bit acquainted with these Shikshastakam prayers? Anyone? Okay, you'll find them in the beginning of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Has everybody got the book, The Teachings of Lord Chaitanya? You've got?
Probably yes.
Okay. You've got?
No.
Okay. You have Chaitanya Charitamrita?
No.
Okay. All right. Anyway, very, very important book. Because those... Actually, this is one of the very, very important books that Prabhupada gave us. Really good. It's a really good read. Seriously good read. And it's very important because it gives us a nice clue. Hare Krishna. It gives us a nice clue as to what it is that Lord Chaitanya wants to do. And in fact, more than it giving us a clue, it explains explicitly what Lord Chaitanya wants to do. In his own words, this is what he wants to do. And it starts off with the Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years together. And thus the fire of conditioned life, of repeated birth and death, is extinguished. And then he goes on to say, this Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large. Why? Because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So it's a very, very nice verse. And as we actually recite this and meditate on it repeatedly, then gradually the meaning of this becomes very much fulfilling in the heart. It's a very powerful verse, actually. But anyway, Lord Chaitanya's mission is to taste the sweetness of love of Krishna and to distribute Krishna consciousness to all the people of the world. So this is very much the mission of Lord Chaitanya. And Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, he was instructed by Lord Chaitanya to write books, and this about the science of Krishna consciousness. And that's an instruction that those who follow in the line of Srila Rupa Goswami have continued to carry out down to the present day. It's a very important instruction to make Krishna consciousness very relevant for the people of the world. So Lord Chaitanya, Rupa Goswami, he's established within this world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya. It's a very, very significant thing. And so the request in this prayer is, when will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who is established within this material world, the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter at his lotus feet? So this is very significant for us, because Arjuna is praying to take shelter at Krishna's feet, to take shelter of Krishna's instruction. He is directly with Krishna. He can do that. We're not quite so fortunate. But we can take shelter of the predecessor acharyas, and particularly the spiritual master of the Hare Krishna movement, which is Srila Prabhupada, and take advantage of his good instructions, and in this way learn to follow the instructions of Krishna. And that's what these books are about, to enable us to understand how to access Krishna consciousness, how to reach the devotees, how to take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. So this is, these invocatory verses that we chant are actually very, very significant. They give us nice understanding as we chant them and meditate and dwell on them. So let's go to chapter 2, text 7, which is where we started to discuss last week. And let's see if we can get the hang of this very important verse, Hare Krishna, and make it nice and easy. Where would you like to sit, Mataji? Wherever you like? Okay. So we're looking at, do you have Gujarati Bhagavad Gita for...
Yeah, we have it in English too.
You're okay with the English one? Okay. So text 7. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We can do better than that. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
That's more like it. Okay. Let's try text 7. Everybody found it? Chapter 2, text 7?
Page 67?
Page 67, yeah. Yep. On most editions that we have here. Okay. Hare Krishna. Good. We have one more. Good, good, good. Page 67. Do you want to move?
I'm open.
Spiritual life is also all about cooperation. Working together to please Krishna. Okay. Karpanya. Dosho Pahata
Svabhava
Karpanya Dosho Pahata Svabhava
Karpanya Dosho Pahata Svabhava
Prichchami
Prichchami
Svam
Vam
Dharma
Dharma
Sammuddha
Sammuddha
Cheta
Cheta
Prichchami Tvam Dharma Sammuddha Cheta
Prichchami Tvam Dharma Sammuddha Cheta.
Can everybody share so that you can, when it comes to your turn, you'll be expert in chanting the verses? Prabhuji at the back, he doesn't have the Bhagavad Gita.
Jai, Tari Pascha.
Jai,
Marpot Nyamkan, Kotapan. Jai. Guru Jaksan.
Okay, chapter 2, text 7.
67.
Chapter
67, yeah.
Well, it may be a different page in that book, but it's chapter 2.
Text 7.
Text 7. Prichchami tvam dharma samuddhacheta
Prichchami tvam dharma
samuddhacheta. Let's try this again. Prichchami tvam dharma samuddhacheta
Prichchami tvam dharma samuddhacheta
Yachchreyasyam nischitam bruhitam me
Yachchreyasyam nischitam bruhitam me
Yachchreyasyam nischitam bruhitam me
Yachchreyasyam nischitam bruhitam
me. Let's try it again. Yach
Yach
Chaya
Chaya
Syan
Syan
Nishchitam
Nishchitam
Bruhi
Bruhi
Tan
Tan
Me
Me
Yachchaya Syan Nishchitam Bruhi Tan Me
Yachchaya Syan Nishchitam Bruhi Tan Me
Yachchreyasyam nischitam bruhitam me
Yachchreyasyam nischitam bruhitam me
Shishyas
te
ham
sadhi
mam
tvam
prapannam
prapannam
Shishyas te ham sadhi mam tvam prapannam
Shishyas te ham sadhi mam tvam prapannam
Shishyaste ham sadhi mam tvam prapannam
Shishyaste ham sadhi mam tvam prapannam.
Okay, from line 1. Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava
Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava
Prichchami tvam dharma samuddha cheta
Prichchami tvam dharma samuddha cheta
Yachchreyasyam nischitam bruhi tan me
Yachchreyasyam nischitam bruhi tan me
Shishyaste ham sadhi mam tvam prapannam
Shishyaste ham sadhi mam tvam prapannam
Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava
Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava
Prichchami tvam dharma samuddha cheta
Prichchami tvam dharma samuddha cheta
Yachchreyasyam nischitam bruhitam me
Yachchreyasyam nischitam bruhitam me
Shishyaste ham sadhi mam tvam prapannam
Shishyaste ham sadhi mam tvam prapannam.
Okay, let's go for it. Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava Prichchami tvam dharma samuddha cheta
Yachchreyasyam nischitam bruhitam me
Shishyaste ham sadhi mam tvam prapannam.
Karpanyadosho pahata svabhava.
Karpanyadosho pahata svabhava.
Prishchami tvam dharma samuddha cheta.
Prishchami tvam dharma samuddha cheta.
Yashcheyasyam nishitam
bruhitam me. Shishyaste ham sadhi mam tvam prapannam.
Karpanya dosha pahata svabhava.
Karpanya dosha pahata svabhava.
Prachami tvam dharma samuddha cheta.
Prachami tvam dharma samuddha cheta.
Yashcheyasyam nishitam nishitam bruhitam me.
Yashcheyasyam nishitam bruhitam me.
Shishyaste ham sadhi mam tvam prapannam.
Shishyaste ham sadhi mam tvam prapannam. Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava. Prachami tvam dharma samudha cheta. Yashcheyasyam nishchitam bruhitam me. Shishyaste ham sadhi mam tvam prapannam. Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava. Prishchami tvam dharma samudha cheta. Yashcheyasyam nishchitam bruhitam me. Shishyaste ham sadhi mam tvam prapannam. Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava.
Panchame tvam dharma samudha cheta.
Prishchami tvam dharma samudha cheta. Yashcheyasyam nishchitam bruhitam me.
Shishyaste ham sadhi mam tvam
prapannam. Shishyaste ham sadhi mam tvam prapannam.
This is very good. If you pay attention when we're reading it and practice enunciating it while we're doing it, then it becomes very easy. It just flows off the tongue. With a little practice, it comes good.
Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava.
Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava.
Prachami tvam dharma samudha cheta.
Prishchami tvam dharma samudha cheta.
Yashcheyasyam nishchitam bruhitam me.
Yashcheyasyam nishchitam bruhitam me.
Shishyaste ham sadhi mam tvam prapannam.
Shishyaste ham sadhi mam tvam prapannam. Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava. Prishchami tvam dharma samudha cheta. Yashcheyasyam nishchitam bruhitam me. Shishyaste ham sadhi mam tvam prapannam. Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava. Prishchami tvam dharma samudha cheta.
Yashcheya
Krishna nishchitam bruhitan me.
Yas shreyasya nishchitam bruhitan me.
Shishyate ham sadimam tvam prapannam.
Shishyaste ham sadimam tvam prapannam.
Karbanya dosho
pahatasvabhava.
Prichami svadharma samudacheta.
Prichami tvam dharma samudacheta.
Yashcheyasya nishitam
bruhitan me.
Shishyate ham sadimam tvam pranama.
Shishyaste ham sadimam tvam prapannam.
Okay, it's good. Now everybody's getting it. We're doing this for the second week running and it's starting to flow. So by the time we finish this verse, everyone will be expert and you'll be doing it with your eyes closed. So now let's do something a little different. We'll each of us, we'll take it in turn to do one word and the word meaning. Right, so we go around the room like that. So, here we go. Karpanya.
Karpanya.
Of miserliness.
Of miserliness.
Dosa.
Dosha.
By the weakness.
By the weakness.
Upahata.
Upahata.
Being afflicted.
Being afflicted.
Swa.
We'll take it in turns, so that's easy.
Swabhava. Characteristic.
Swabhava.
Characteristics.
Prishchami,
I am asking.
Tvam?
Olo tvam.
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 Yet.
Unto.
Unto you.
Unto you.
Unto you.
Dharma.
Dharma.
Religious. Sammita.
Sammuda.
Bewildered.
Cheta. In heart.
Yat.
What?
Shreya.
Shreya.
All good.
All good. Syat. Maybe.
Maybe.
Nishitam confidently.
Nishitam.
Confidently.
Bruhi.
Tell.
Tat.
That.
Me.
Unto me.
Unto me.
Shishya.
Disciple.
Te. Your.
Aham.
I am.
Sadi.
Just instruct.
Mom.
Me.
Tavam.
Tvam.
Unto you.
Prapannam. Surrendered. Okay, so can everybody remember the two words that you translated tonight? If you can remember those two words, you have learned two Sanskrit words. How about that? We're making progress.
Dharma, religion.
And then,
Dharma, religion.
Yes, okay, very good.
And a profound surrender.
Yeah, great. Okay, here's the verse. Now I am confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. So let's do this together. Now I am confused about my duty.
Now I am confused about my duty.
And have lost all composure.
And have lost all composure.
Because of miserly weakness.
Because of miserly weakness.
In this condition, I am asking you to tell me for certain. What is best for me?
What is best for me?
Now I am your disciple. And a soul surrendered unto you.
Please
instruct me.
Please instruct me.
So this is a very good attitude to have if we want to approach a spiritual master, is to understand, now I'm surrendering to you, I'm a soul surrendered to you, please instruct me. And of course, if you ask someone to instruct you, it's very important that you accept their instruction and carry it out. Not that just, oh yes, I like your instructions, but I can't do them. You have to do them. So this is very nice. Okay. Kiran Prabhu, can you read us the first paragraph? This is the one we read last week, please.
By nature's own way, the complete system of material activities is a source of perplexity for everyone. In every step, there is perplexity, and therefore it behoves one to approach a bona fide spiritual master who can give one proper guidance for executing the purpose of life. All Vedic literatures advise us to approach a bona fide spiritual master to get free from the perplexities of life, which happen without our desire. They are like a forest fire that somehow blazes without being set by anyone. Similarly, the world situation is such that perplexity of life automatically appears without our wanting such confusion. No one wants fire, and yet it takes place, and we become perplexed. The Vedic wisdom therefore advises that in order to solve perplexity of life and to understand the science of the solution, one must approach a spiritual master who is in the disciplic succession.
Disciplic, yeah.
A person with a bona fide spiritual master is supposed to know everything. One should not therefore remain in material perplexities, but should approach a spiritual master. This is the purport of this verse.
Mm. So, does anyone remember some of the things we discussed last week about this? Who can remember anything we discussed last week? Or has it all gone in one ear and gone in the other?
We're discussing about how Narada Muni instruct Vaidyas to write Srimad Bhagavatam, and that's like one of the we discussed.
Okay, good. That even Vyasadeva, he is showing by example that one has to approach a spiritual master. Actually, it's essential. If it's essential for Vyasadeva, of course, it's not essential for an animal to approach a spiritual master because he's only interested in animal life. But for someone who's actually interested in solving the perplexities of life, it is essential. And this is going to be discussed in the next verse, in the next paragraph. But the principle is that just look at the perplexities of life. Is there anyone who is not perplexed? Just like even you're at school, or you want to do something. You want to do something in life, and what happens? All sorts of problems and questions arise. Should I do it that way? Should I do it this way? Should I do this or should I do that? Whether you're cooking, whether you're trying to look after the children, whether you're looking after your parents, whether you're at work, somebody says you've got to do this, another person says you've got to do that, and every which way you turn, there are perplexities. There's no one who is not free, who is free from perplexities. Whether you're a politician, whether you're the king in the government, or whether you're just trying to go about your daily activities in life, there are so many problems. Even if you go in the supermarket to buy some salt, sometimes you'll find 12 different varieties of salt, which ones to buy. But the real problems of life are actually far more serious. The real problems of life are, what shall I do with my time, because my time is running out, actually. My human form of life can be finished at any moment, and at any moment I will have to leave this body, and what will happen to me? So what can I do now to prepare myself for my next journey, because the journey is coming up. Just like supposing you have to go to school tomorrow. There's only one person in the room who hopefully has to go to school tomorrow. Now, are you prepared to go to school tomorrow?
Yeah.
You have everything ready?
Yeah.
There's nothing you have to do before you go to school?
No.
You don't have to brush your teeth or take breakfast, or have a shower, get dressed, find your right clothes, you know, make sure you've got two not different socks. So many things are there that we have to do to prepare. Or if you're going away to some foreign country, how much you have to prepare? Is my passport okay? Have I got a passport? Is it still there, or have I lost it somewhere? Have I got the ticket? Have I got the visa? Yeah. Have I got the spending money? Have I got somewhere safe to keep it? Yeah. Have I got any spare pictures in case I lose my passport? Yeah. Or whatever it may be, have I got all the clothes I need? Have I got the things I'm supposed to take with me? You know, so many things. Have I arranged my travel to the airport? Yeah. What am I going to do when I get there? So many problems, so many things we have to think about, so many complications just to make an ordinary journey. Or even if you want to go down to the shops, have I got my shopping list? Have I got my money? Or my credit card? Is there any fuel in the car? Have I got a puncture? What if I slip, and what about that dog mess on the road? You know, everything. There are so many perplexities in life which you have to deal with, so many problems, just to go on some ordinary trip. Will I be able to get ready and leave in time so I won't be late? That's a really good one. Anyway, that's just to go on an ordinary journey in this material world. So what if you want to go to a journey, on a journey to the spiritual world? What do you have to pack? What do you have to have? Where's your visa? Where's your ticket? Have you got all the necessities of life so that you can go to the spiritual world? Or think of it another way. Well, I don't know if I'm going to the spiritual world, but I know I'm going to have to go on a journey when I leave this body. Is it not a fact? We're going to have to go out of this body, and who knows where. It's going to be a big adventure. Well, hopefully it's going to be a pleasant adventure. But for the devotees, it should be a pleasant adventure. Because Krishna says, for one who does good, my friend, he's never overcome by evil. And so someone who tries to approach Krishna, he isn't quite like an ordinary person who may have to meet a few unruly characters along the way. You know who I'm talking about. Anyway, the thing is, to make a journey, we have to be prepared for that journey. Is it not? So what preparations do we need to do to make the spiritual journey? To go back home, back to Godhead. So that we don't wind up in some dump at the end of our journey. You know, like, for example, suppose you end up in the body of a slug. You know, is that a good, that's a real duff destination. You don't want to go there. Or a cockroach. Yeah, it's not very good. So there are certainly preparations to make, and there are issues, and those are for the journey at the end of life. But what about the really perplexing situations that we may come across? Like, for example, anyone want to share in the room a really perplexing situation they've been through in life in the last few moments, days, weeks, or years? Anyone want to share a perplexing situation? Chaitanya Mitai Prabhu?
I'll go on, Prabhu.
Okay.
Yeah. It's probably about in September time.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the exact date. It's about, I think it's just the 30th of August, coming up to the 1st of September, we have to go and drop Bunsi Prabhu to Wales, just to have a look at the temple before he was actually going to go and stay there. And me, wife, and one of the sons, and Bhupendra, we went to drop him off. In Swansea. We got to go in the restaurant and everything. Went there, had a good time, went, had a look at the sea and everything, then came back. And all of a sudden, I started getting a bit of a pain in my back. I thought, oh, it's just because of the driving, because Bhupendra was nagging me, come on, let me drive halfway on the way back, you know, you'll get tired. I says, I'll be all right. In other words, I didn't trust him too much for the car, so I says, I'll drive anyway, you see. So we got there, and I thought it was just, you know, a bit of a back pain, or something I must have eaten, or gas or something, so I didn't mind. And then on the way back, Bhupendra was driving. And you can ask Bhupendra and Bunsi Prabhu what sort of pain I was in. There, I couldn't even sit properly. I had to sit like this on the chair, on the car seat like this, every 2 minutes, you know. Then we stopped at the service station, and I was in agony, and they thought, you know, can't, what could be so much bad pain in the back, you know. So I went to the service station, and I vomited there. And I thought, you know, what could it be? So I had some water and stuff, and it just eased the pain off a little bit. We got home, went to the temple, seen Padumnath Prabhu, and he says, oh, thanks for taking him, everything, and gave me a few other things that needed to be done on the weekend. Went home, and the pain was still there. I thought, if I lie down, it'll get better. Went home, and it was getting really bad and bad. And then about 1 in the morning, I went to the bathroom again, and I vomited blood. I thought, this is not looking too good. So I phoned the NHS people. They said, don't worry about it. Then I phoned the ambulance. And as I was just put the phone, the ambulance came. And they took me away, and they took an x-ray. And says, you've got a kidney stone, a pretty big one, in your back. And where did that kidney stone come from? How it was there? I had no idea. And then after, I think, 3 months, we were taking some medication and everything. And did, you know, some keyhole surgery and stuff. And he was okay. And then just as I got better, I think it was the week after we went to Padumnath's house on, I think it was Christmas Day, and Bunsi Prabhu was there. And then he announced the week after that he's staying, he's coming back. So this thing happened when he went, on that day we went to Swansea. So I think a few things I've sort of given up after I've had the kidney stone, you know, for the good, and started sort of, you know, reading more, chanting more since that day. So I think there was a reason for that stone to be there, you know. You think there's always some, there's a reason behind everything, you know, as it goes on. I went through some pain, but luckily everything's, you know, the stone and everything's gone now. So it just makes you think sometimes that we go through so much things in life, and there might be a reason behind that. Now if I look back now, where I am today, you know, while I'm chanting, reading more, and starting to, you know, come to the temple regular and understanding it more. Before it was just, you know, I just read the Gita, yeah, that's it, finished, you know. In as you say, in one ear, out the other, But now I'm understanding it more.
So there's some suffering.
Oh, lots of suffering, yeah, there was.
To be endured. Your brother also. Yeah, a lot of suffering to be endured. Is there anyone in this room who has not gone through a period of intense suffering in their life? No? Everyone's had some intense suffering in their life? Wow. Join the club. We've all got something seriously in common. And actually Krishna is explaining, because Arjun, he's in an intensely suffering condition. Arjun's intense suffering is to understand what he should do in a very difficult situation. What should I do? Should I kill all these people here? Or should I go away from the battlefield? What should I do? Arjun is in great distress. He's seriously in distress, trying to decide what to do, actually. Has anyone else ever had to make a very difficult decision in life? Like whether or not you should get married? Well, so many things. So many difficult decisions. Arjuna's decision was most difficult. Can you imagine that sort of decision having to take place? Whether or not you're going to kill thousands and millions of people? That's a pretty seriously acute decision to make. There's a lot hanging on it. Because he's already given his reasons. On one hand, he's thinking, what sort of reaction am I going to get if I kill all these people? He's thinking, this is against my dharma. And he's thinking, how will I enjoy this world if all my family members are dead? You know, so he's got a whole bunch of really strong reasons which are causing him a great deal of grief. He's very perplexed. Now our perplexities may seem quite trivial in comparison with what Arjuna's conditions are. But when you have to make the decision, it's like life or death. You know, what should I do? Should I get married? Shouldn't I get married? Should I take this job or should I not take this job? Should I, should I invite these awkward family members round or should I not? Or should I go and visit them or should I not? A lot of perplexity. I'm just making some suggestions here. I can't read your minds. But the fact is there are many perplexities of life. And actually in every situation everyone has to face perplexities of life. So let's read what Srila Prabhupada says in the next paragraph about who is the man in material perplexities. Bhavesh Prabhu, would you like to read this next paragraph?
Who is the man in material perplexities? It is he who does not understand the problems of life. In the Brihadarankaya Upanishad 3.8.10, the perplexed man is described as follows: Yova etad aksharam gargi abhiti vashmal lokat praiti sa kripana. He is a miserly man who does not solve the problems of life as a human, and who thus quits this life like the cats and dogs without understanding the science of self-realization. This human form of life is the most valuable asset for the living entity who can utilize it for solving the problems of life. Therefore, one who does not utilize this opportunity properly is a miser. On the other hand, there is the Brahman, or he who is intelligent enough to utilize this body to solve all the problems of life. Ya etad aksharam gargi vidit vashma lokat preti sa brahmana.
So here we see that the human being is meant for solving all the problems of life. If you're a cat, or if you're a dog, or any creature of life, you have perplexities. Because in every species of life, you have to go looking for food. Yeah, there's eating. Eating problem is there for every living being, is it not? And you see even the ant who's crawling around on the floor, he's got an eating problem. He's going here and there to try and get some food. He's got a mating problem, how to organize that nicely. And how to defend himself because he's afraid of something or other. How to defend himself from that dangerous condition of life. Everyone has got a defending problem and a sleeping problem. Where to sleep? You know, how to sleep someone else. And so the human beings, the so-called human beings, they make efforts in the field of how to eat nicely, how to sleep nicely, and how to mate nicely, and how to defend nicely. But the problem is that these problems remain life after life after life after life, and they don't go away when we just change our body. And these are perplexities of human life, as well as with the animal species. But the point is that the human life is meant for solving these problems permanently, so that they don't keep coming back. Like what they used to call a bad penny. You know that expression, a bad penny? A bad penny is one that is no good. And wherever you put it, it just keeps finding its way back into your pocket. You've got this bad penny, which is no good. So we have this problem situation in this world. This eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And besides that, we also have the other problems. As well as those problems, we have three types of miserable conditions. We were hearing in some graphic detail about one of them, which is the miseries of our own body and mind, actually. The body and the mind creates a lot of miseries. You know, how to actually deal with the issues in life. And there's also, what are the other two types of miseries that we must experience in this material world?
Avidevik.
Which is?
From nature.
Yeah.
Or natural disasters or the environment. External.
Yeah, so why is it called Daivik?
It's from the demigods.
Yeah, the demigods are in charge of this material nature. They're delegated to carry out the functions of this material nature. For example, the heat. Surya, he's got a big job to do. And the cooling breeze, which can sometimes be a bit more than a cooling breeze. Big hurricane or whatever it may be, that's Vayu. So the demigods, they're in charge of the different aspects. And it's actually a really big job to run the material world. How many demigods? How many universal civil servants are there?
33 crores.
33 crores, yeah. 330 million demigods. And they're all looking after different fine details of how the material world works. That's their job. So it's called Adidevik. Because part of their job is to deliver the miseries due to the living entity. Part of their job is that. So Adi Atmik, miseries from our own body and mind, and Adi Devik, miseries inflicted by different aspects of this material world. That's their job. Even Brahma, his job was to build the prison house. Yeah. Yeah, which he didn't want to do. Because he was thinking, if I do this, what sort of job, what sort of service is this I've got to do for Krishna? I've got to make a torture chamber for all the living beings. Yeah, I don't want to do that. So when he asked Krishna, I don't really want to do this. And Krishna said, no, it's your service, you have to do it. So there's the Adi Devik and there's the Adi Atmik, the miseries from our own bodies and minds. Sometimes our minds get in real anxiety. Is there anyone here in the last week who hasn't been in some kind of serious anxiety? Everyone been in some anxiety this week? Is it true?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh gosh. So even a week can't go by without us having miseries of the mind and the body. Okay. And what's the third type? Adibhautik, which means?
Misery is caused by others.
Other living beings, yeah. Antagonistic activities of other living beings. Yeah. May it be children, parents, husband, wife, friends, vat man, bank manager,
neighbor's dog.
The water board.
Neighbor's dog.
Neighbor's dog, yeah. The mosquito. Whatever it is, it's there, ready to cause miseries. And that is the nature of the material world. And wherever we go, there is no respite in the material world. These threefold miseries are there. And the underlying problems of birth, death, old age and disease are there. So human life is actually meant for solving these problems. Now, this may seem a little distant because it was a few days ago this happened. But, you know, I had some big problem. It was only when I was in India I got bitten by the mosquito. It was only when I drove to Swansea that I had this kidney stone in my back. But whatever it may be, or whether it's just the legs starting to hurt as we're sitting on the floor after a few minutes, I'm not trying to rub it in. But the principle is that the miseries are always there in this material world. And human life is meant for understanding that actually, relatively speaking, with the exception perhaps of Chaitanya Nitai Prabhu, and perhaps Kirtan, and I don't know if anybody else, but actually most of us in reasonably good health. At least we're in good enough health to sit and hear about Krishna and chant about Krishna. But when your body starts to not get in good health, then even doing that can be a bit of a struggle. You know, you can chant Hare Krishna on your beads, you can remember Krishna, but when your health is gone, then it's actually, it can be quite difficult. So we've been through some pretty difficult times. We've been through the pain of being wrapped up inside our mother's wombs for so many months. Every one of us has been there. Otherwise we wouldn't be here now if we hadn't gone through that. Every one of us has done it. And then the growing pains, you know. Growing up, children, they get quite a lot of illnesses. It often happens like that. They get sick. Eating the wrong things, unregulated habits, not very clean. Learning how to get the healthy condition of life takes some education. So those are just the beginning. But then there's no one here particularly experiencing the pangs of what at our stage of life we may call old age. Yeah? Anyone experiencing old age? You?
Okay, well. Yeah, well, the things do wear out, actually. It's about
old age, just like if you have a car, old age means parts start going wrong, you know. And you may be able to get them replaced, or you may just have to live with it. Yeah. It's not that you can replace necessarily all the different parts. For example, supposing the brain starts going wrong, what do you do? They haven't figured out to give you a brain transplant. A head transplant. Yeah. I've actually had one. You can see the joint here. Can you see? But the principle is very it's very simple. Anyway, the principle is that when old age sets in, then it gets more difficult. So I'm sure some of us in the room, most of us may know people who are really quite old. Is it? Family members, friends, acquaintances, people who are really old. That's not a very good condition to be in, is it? Not exactly sprightly and full of joys and joie de vivre, the joy of life, you know, it's a bit tough, you know, trying to do anything. You know, if you need to get something up the stairs, you've got to really think twice before you... You know, maybe think half a dozen times before I go up the stairs. You know, how long is it going to take me to climb up the stairs? Or can I even make it up the stairs? What to speak of anything else? And that's the body. And because it's painful, it doesn't work properly. And the brain often ceases to function quite so well in old age. And besides that, not only that, sometimes we see that people, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes we see that people who are older, they also become a little bit crotchety, you know, a little bit miserable. Because the desires of what they used to be able to do can no longer be fulfilled. So that's frustrating, actually. It's difficult, it's painful, and you see other people being able to do these things, but you can't do them, and that's pretty tough to live with, just like that. And what to speak of old age that brings the friends, so many diseases, different diseases necessarily oftentimes from what you had when you were a growing young child. you know, the mumps and the measles and the flu and, you know, scarlet fever and all the different bits and pieces that children tend to get a little bit. But the older diseases, they tend to be much more serious and a really major, major problem if anything happens to your diseased body. Because if you have a younger body, you can often fight the disease, your body can fight the disease a lot more easily. But when you get older, it's very difficult to fight the disease. What do you do? Can you handle going in for an operation to have a heart transplant or a hip replacement or a knee replacement? You know, all these things, they can be really traumatic experiences. Will you even come round from the anaesthetic? You know? So all these things are going on, and then of course perplexity big time is getting ready for the moment when we have to actually leave this body permanently. That's a big perplexity. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to the kids? What's going to happen to my money? What's going to happen to the house? What's going to happen to my favorite bit of toolkit or whatever it is? Or, you know, so many things. What's going to happen to my partner? What's going to happen to my children? What's going to happen to everyone around me? Yeah. How will everything go on without me? Even Gandhi thought like this. To the end of his life, he was thinking, how will India go on without me? And so even he was given an advice that don't go to that meeting because there is danger. There is a plan to kill you. But he was thinking, no, I have to go and do my political functions. Otherwise, how will India go on? And so he went and he was shot and finished. So these mistakes are there. We make mistakes. And as we notice, young children, they make a lot of mistakes because they haven't got the experience. And as we grow older, because of our experience, Prabhupada gave the example that from bad judgment, we get experience. And from experience, we get good judgment. So we go through a period of our lives, and in the height of our life, we've got pretty good judgment and we can do things pretty well. But then as we start to get old, our judgment becomes a little cloudy and we don't do things so well anymore. We don't even judge our footstep or our balance so well, and we fall over. And you see the problems that happen in this life. Everyone has experience of someone who's what they call had a fall. Because their judgment of what their muscles and everything can actually do, it just doesn't all work so well as it used to. So death is the biggest problem, because when we have to leave this body, what then? This is a big anxiety. Do you know what will happen to you when you leave your body? Do you know where you will go? Does anyone know where they will go when they leave their body? Can anyone say? What sort of body will I get the next time? Because Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, for one who is born, death is certain, and for one who is dead, birth is certain. So there are so many perplexities. One of the things, of course, Krishna is going to tell Arjuna, which is good for Kshatriyas, is that as a Kshatriya, he says, happy are the Kshatriyas who die on the battlefield when these fighting opportunities come unsought. Because that opens for them the doors to the heavenly planets. So for a Kshatriya, if he gets a chance to die fighting, that's brilliant for him, because he gets a chance to go to heaven. If he dies, either that or it becomes glorious. And especially Arjuna, he's got a brilliant situation, because he's going to become having the opportunity to die like a hero fighting such valiant generals as Bhishma and Drona. You know, and all these incredible, powerful ratis, these great ratis and maharatis, great warriors. So great, yes, I fought against them. So I was killed by them, but I was up against them personally. That's a seriously glorious situation for a Kshatriya. Or, even if he dies, he's going to go to the heavenly planets. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, why are you lamenting, Arjuna? Why are you thinking on the bodily concept of? So Arjuna, He's in the typical situation in the material world of thinking, in the mistaken conception of life, that I'm this body. Although everybody knows subconsciously that I'm not the body. What's going to happen to me when I'm dying? But I'm attached to the body. Actually, everybody knows psychologically, and therefore nobody wants to die. Because when we die, we have to go through it all over again. The whole rigmarole, again and again and again and again, birth after birth after birth. So psychologically, everyone can understand that dying is not a good thing to do. But the human being has a chance to finish birth and death on old age and disease. And this is the situation. Arjuna has come to Krishna asking him about a perplexed situation, what to do. But he's going to get a lot more than he bargained for. Because Krishna's going to speak Bhagavad Gita to him. So he's going to understand the whole picture. So rather than thinking in terms of I'm the body and just how to avoid the suffering, Krishna's going to give him the opportunity for going back to Godhead, for going back to the spiritual world. And this is what Bhagavad Gita is for. And for the intelligent person who wants to understand how to really solve the problems of life, Bhagavad Gita and taking a spiritual master is for that person. If someone's actually not interested in their spiritual life, they don't need a spiritual master. Actually, they do, but the problem is they don't know they do. But spiritual life, the whole point of the mission of Lord Chaitanya is to wake people up to the fact that we do need a spiritual master. And we do need to solve the problems of life. This is the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Vairagya Vidra Nija Bhakti Yoga. To teach people causeless knowledge, detachment from the world, and loving service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the goal of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. To give people knowledge, detachment from the world, and loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is what Lord Chaitanya came to teach. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he spoke this verse. He said, this is why you have descended, my dear Lord, to teach Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Causeless knowledge, that is not some material knowledge, but transcendental knowledge. Detachment from the world and loving service unto you. So this is what Lord Chaitanya is trying to give. So these things are the solutions to the problems of life. Permanent solutions. Any questions? Any comments?
You know the book you were saying, Prabhu?
Mm.
The Chaitanya book?
Teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
Chaitanya.
Yes.
There's the other one you mentioned as well, the
Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Are they both different books?
In one sense, the Teachings of Lord Chaitanya is one volume. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada has presented that as a summary of the 17 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So you might find it a lot easier to access at first the teachings of Lord Chaitanya than you may to, you know, invest the energy. But hopefully by reading the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, your interest will be piqued enough to make you want to one day read that Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. But it's very powerful messages from Lord Chaitanya, because in there you find Lord Chaitanya's teachings to Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. Very, very powerful stuff.
Yes. In the manner, you can get the one where it's the whole 17 sort of thing.
Yeah, but it doesn't make it any less to read.
No, is that
it means
okay
they've condensed it into very small print onto very thin paper.
Yeah. No, would that be good to read that? Would you still get the same as you would reading the...
You would, but it's the equivalent of reading 17 volumes. Now, if you're a scholar, and if you've got the time to read it, then by all means. But I would suggest that a good place to start might be to digest the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the summary of that. You might find that easier to work with. But either way, if you can read the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, then please do.
I've just started reading. It's only a book with, I think, about...
I don't know if... it may not be the same book.
Then. Is it? Probably, yeah.
I don't know because I can't see the book you're talking about. Do you know what it's called?
Yeah, it's Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yeah, but like you say, condensed.
Yeah, it's condensed. Condensed in the sense that it's very tiny print. Yeah?
Yeah.
And it's on very thin paper. So you... Right. In the space, you get, you know, like Bible paper, thousands of pages in the Bible, but it's in one book, because they use what they call Bible paper, very, very thin paper, you know, very fine. So that doesn't mean there are any less pages to read.
All right, so the same information that there would be in the 17. Yeah?
It is exactly the same, but it's just printed in a one-volume edition, complete as it is. But the teachings of Lord Chaitanya is one that Prabhupada wrote before he gave us the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. That came quite a bit
later.
That
is different, yeah.
It's a different book, but it's the essence of all those instructions in an easily readable and assimilable format.
That's just one, no volumes in that?
Just one book.
One book, yeah.
It's one book. It's a good book.
Yeah.
Do you have a copy of Teachings of Lord Chaitanya here?
I don't know, you must have somewhere.
Possibly. Anyway. Okay.
Great.
Any other questions or comments? Jaina Mati. Okay. Reading may not be our strong point. Who likes to read and spends time reading regularly?
In the morning I like to.
You like
I'm reading.
Okay, good.
Started reading in the morning.
Okay, good. What are you reading? What's in the morning?
Bhagavad Gita.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. This is very nice.
I'm reading Srimad Bhagavatam.
Okay, good. Great. So you're both reading at your own pace to go through. Excellent.
Yeah.
This is very good. Anyway, if we can just read steadily, step by step, and go through it. But sometimes people like to hear more easily. They find it a little easier to hear than to read. And sometimes, therefore, you'll find that Prabhupada's books have been condensed and read so that we can listen to them. And, in fact, all these books, Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Krishna book, these have all been recorded on MP3s so that we can actually listen to these books as well. Sometimes it's a little easier. I know I used to, as a young brahmachari, I used to find it very difficult to read. I would sit down to read and after a few moments couldn't handle the 6 hours a night regime and reading as well. That was too much. But I have something for the... Who has got a copy of the Gitamrita? That audio recording.
Yeah, I've got a problem, yeah.
You've got a
yeah.
copy. Anyone else got a copy?
I've got one. I'm not sure if it's the same one, but it's...
Okay.
It's English.
It's in English, yes. English. It's a dramatic reading of Bhagavad Gita with reference to the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Prabhupada's commentaries and other commentaries from predecessor acharyas. Because I have here something which you might like. Would you be willing to share?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you like to take a copy? Actually, you've got
already. I've got that from, yeah.
You've got this.
I've
and
got
you've,
that
got,
one,
you've
yeah.
got this.
I've got one, yeah.
Okay. Kieran, would you like? So, I think I put it on Prabhuji's computer.
Yeah.
But these are for you to listen to, because this actually, for me, just as a suggestion, I found this really helped to bring Bhagavad Gita to life. When you're in there, in the battlefield scenario, with everything going on between Krishna and Arjuna. Okay.
So are these on normal CD players? Yeah.
No, MP3.